Stupid.
Valgard glowered, rising out of his seat as he picked up his axe.
Had you spoken before you attacked, you might have found that it was not we who killed Halla.
Your wife spoke. Skorri growled, his voice and his whole body carried an unsettling tremor. You lie well, but I heard the truth. I heard everything on the roof. Valgard blinked.
The roof?
One learns a few tricks while hiding from the Danes. As if on cue, a burning piece of wood fell from above. Valgard looked up to see flames quickly eating into the ceiling of his hall from outside. The walls would follow. It had been a warm, dry summer. I appear to block the only exit, Skorri observed through gritted teeth. Though if you are lucky, you may convince the Valkyries that you deserve to leave with me tonight. I doubt your chances, but there's always hope. It was the first day in a week that Alex woke up to something other than Lorelai's touch. Instead, he woke up to Taylor crawling on top of him. How is anyone supposed to enjoy college when he has to wake up this early in the morning? She asked with a grin. Alex sighed happily.
I'm all dedicated and stuff,
he mumbled.
We need to get you transferred to UW, Taylor said.
He let out a groan as he stretched.
Might have trouble focusing on classes there.
Exactly,
Taylor said, as she began kissing the side of his neck. Lorelai's mouth mirrored her attention on Alex's other side. At that point, he was just plain spoiled.
If you two want to stay together and play longer,
he managed.
I think I'd like that.
Hell yeah, Taylor breathed out. I'll take very good care of her, love. Lorelai smiled into his ear.
We can't just leave guys with their fucking heads cut off lying around up here.
Carlos argued. He sat at the desk in his office, wearing only his open robe, a gold chain, and the phone that he'd had to keep glued to his ear for an annoyingly long time. He spoke in Spanish. The only thing that mitigated his ire was the mostly naked maid, who straddled him in his office chair in a slow, steady grind. She kept her eyes closed and stayed quiet. Her silence was absolutely necessary. It wouldn't be good for the family to know he was fucking around during his conference calls.
No, I'm saying that it brings down more heat than it's worth. We can't just be all fleshy like that and then go out for drinks like nothing happened. This isn't Juarez.
He tried to think up a compromise. The maid kept grinding. Finally, he offered,
Look, I'm not saying I won't do it. I just need to clean it up when it's done. I'll cut the fucker's head off myself. That's fine. I'm just gonna do it where I can keep the body. Yeah, I'll make the right people watch and then let them go tell everyone else. It's better than the whole thing going on the news. Once we escalate like that, we'll have to stay at that level. That's a lot of work, and I'll need a lot more guys.
He shifted a bit for the maid, who leaned back onto the corner of the desk on her elbows. It gave him a nice view of her body. This was his fourth or fifth time with her. Lydia did a good job in hiring this one. It was great to have a wife who understood him. What good was being a gangster if you couldn't live like it? The other guys on the conference call didn't understand that. They all had wives, too. But their wives just nagged. They all had to cover up their side action. Carlos, by contrast, had a wife who would help him get more and would help him cover it up from others. She couldn't fix everything, of course, and sometimes he got careless. Otherwise, he wouldn't be stuck in Rain City. But Lydia was his best asset. She understood the lifestyle and stayed turned on by it after the wedding instead of becoming a cranky old bitch like everyone else's wives did.
No, I'm not going soft, cocksucker. I've done this shit before, remember? I'm the one who did the cop outside Tijuana. You're the one who puked over it.
This was too goddamn early in the morning to deal with these guys without something like the maid to wake him up. They seemed to forget what time zone he was in. The sun was hardly even up yet. His eyes were bloodshot. He'd barely gotten out of bed in time for this. He'd been tired lately, for a while now, actually. Lydia liked to keep him up all night. He couldn't complain, but there it was. No real sleep for 2 days. About the only thing that woke him up anymore was sex. That was something else Lydia understood. Come to think of it, Lydia probably sent the maid in here herself.
Hey, that whole rumor about the Russians being here already is true, okay?
Carlos scowled.
It's for real, and those assholes are for real. They're gonna be a real problem. I can deal with all the chicken shit stuff first. I'd like to do it quietly is all. Yeah, I'm done.
Carlos waited, then put the phone on speaker and muted it.
Now you can make noise,
he said in English. She took him up on it. On the speakerphone, Pedro yapped about Los Angeles. Carlos would have been there except for the whole thing with Pedro's wife at Carlos and Lydia's wedding. That was half Lydia's doing, too. But Pedro found out during their honeymoon, and it nearly came to bloodshed. Instead, Pedro got a promotion and a divorce, and Carlos got banished to the great wet north. That was fine, Carlos figured. Nobody here would get in his way anyway, and he wouldn't have to deal with his punk brother trying to kill him. Nobody else in the family was here making eyes at Lydia, either. As if she'd ever cheat on him. She flirted, sure, but she'd never cheat. Carlos was sure of that. Lydia belonged to him.
God, you're so good, the maid moaned.
He is, isn't he? Came Lydia's voice. Carlos looked up, feeling not the least bit of shame about what he was doing as she entered. It was an embarrassment that left him quickly forgetting the maid, though, so much as lust. Lydia was all made up and dressed in leather and lace, stockings, garters, lacy bra, gloves, the whole bit.
There a special occasion here?
He asked with a grin. The conversation over his phone speaker continued. He hardly listened anymore.
You left the bed and I wanted more. I know how hard you work. I wanted today to be special. You don't have anything else you need to do today, do you? She asked.
Her falsely innocent doe eyes contrasted sexily with the absolute sin offered by the rest of her body. He had a lot of important things to do, but he couldn't for the life of him remember details. He didn't bother to try, either. Carlos pulled away from the maid, without so much as a look her way. Lydia held out her arms to him, engaging him in a hot, biting kiss as he seized her. Her arms tore away his open bathrobe before she pulled herself up against his shoulders. His hands seized her ass. Carlos pinned her to the wall.
Take me to bed and fuck me, baby,
Lydia hissed. Carlos didn't need to be asked twice. He carried her down the hall to their master bedroom. Inside, dozens of candles lit up the room. He noticed an odd smell. There was a lot of incense, but it was as if it all covered up something unpleasant. The curtains were drawn. The room was almost uncomfortably warm, and everything else was deathly quiet. Carlos stepped in something wet in the carpet. He'd have looked down to see what it was, but Lydia grabbed his chin and forced another long, hungry kiss upon him.
Take me, Carlos, she growled. Now.
Carlos brought her down onto the bed and obeyed. Lydia grinned as he went at her. He completely missed the bloody pentagram in the carpet around the bed. She would have him reduced to an animalistic rutting frenzy before the bodies of Chewie and Paco under the bed began to stink. Normally, bringing her prey to his end didn't involve such a production. Complicated rituals weren't necessary for killing a man. This one, however, was needed for something beyond just killing. His soul was bound for hell, but his body had one last use.
We look like assholes,
Molly grumbled.
I think you look cute,
Onyx smirked. Molly turned to Onyx with a scowl.
I want to put my fucking bra back on, she said icily.
Onyx couldn't help but snort at Molly's plaid beret and non-prescription black-rimmed glasses. The pink Izod shirt collar popped up under her dress jacket, only made it worse. She tried to control her laughter, but couldn't. The pair sat on a bench at North Seattle Community College, dutifully watching a single classroom's exits. Onyx was clad in an old white Smurfs shirt, with blue sleeves that came down to just below the elbow, a scarf, and, like Molly, skinny high-waisted jeans. "I don't think we're being nearly ironic enough to be good hipsters," said Onyx. "What are you talking about? We're trying to blend into our surroundings by dressing like people who try desperately to stand out by showing how much they don't care about looking good. We look like perfect assholes. I think we're fine there. How's that not ironic?" She wasn't as amused by the situation as Onyx. "I hope Alex is ready to reimburse us for rescuing his ass." Onyx bit down on her lip, but then decided to let her response fly anyway. "I plan on getting paid in sex." Molly scowled again. "How awkward would it be for you if I watched?" Her partner's eyes went wide. Onyx mumbled, unsure how serious Molly might be. "Molly? Is that you?" asked a nasally, technically male voice. A guy in a sweater vest and skinny slacks with black-rimmed glasses, identical to Molly's, approached with his courier bag slung over his shoulder. "Oh my gosh, you two look great."
"Go away, Sam," Molly said without looking at him.
"Seriously, oh my gosh, I've got to take your picture," he said, fishing in his courier bag for his iPhone.
"Do it and I will fucking murder you in your sleep," Molly snapped.
Sam gasped. He then muttered an ironically nonchalant apology and shuffled away.
"I take it back," Molly said. "I'm gonna make you watch." So, Augustine hears this call to take up a book and read, and he pulls out the first thing in reach. It's Paul's letter to the Romans. He reads, completely at random, "Let us behave decently, as in daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires."
Professor Lyons recited it from memory. He sat atop the desk at the front of the classroom. The small, older man in slacks and his button-down shirt smiled at the class.
"This is a man who famously said, 'God, grant me chastity, but not yet.'"
He paused for the inevitable chuckle from his class.
"You'll appreciate the St. Augustine readings, I think. We're not focusing on the issue of chastity here. That's for another philosophy class. But it's good to know where Augustine was coming from. You're reading the words of a former party animal. I suspect more than a few of you could probably relate."
He glanced at the clock.
"No real time for discussion today. See you all on Wednesday."
Students rose and gathered their things. Alex remained in his desk, still considering what he'd heard. He wouldn't trade his experiences for the world, but it was a lot to chew on. A woman's hand appeared on his desk. Alex looked up to see the cute Latina who normally sat in the back, smiling at him as she walked away. The post-it note she left on his desk bore a phone number, and the name Christina written inside a heart. Alex picked up the note just as another appeared on the other side of his desk, this one left by a petite brunette in a short skirt and stockings. He didn't catch sight of her face before she was gone. Apparently, her name was Paula. At this time last week, Alex wondered when he'd ever get beyond a second or third date. He'd found no real romance, nor sex. Now the biggest question in his life was, how much of a good thing is too much? He might have already hit that point. Alex felt fortunate and well-loved, both physically and emotionally. So many of his worries lay dead and gone, as if they had been left to burn in the Sacred Heart Cemetery Chapel. It wasn't just Lorelai, or Rachel, or the others, he recognized the changes in himself. Yet he couldn't shake the terrible feeling that it would all come crashing down on someone's head. If it were just his head, that would be bad enough. If it was someone else's, he couldn't live with that. How far could this go before he'd have to dial it back? How could one know when to slow down the party? When does success spin out of control to become disaster? He glanced up to see if Professor Lyons was still there. This might be the abstract question to ask a philosophy teacher. There had to be books on it somewhere. But the professor was already out the door. Alex sighed. He threw on his leather jacket, picked up his helmet and books, and headed for his next class. Riding to school helped him return to reality. He'd taken Lorelai's car home to retrieve his bike, since Taylor was perfectly happy to drive Lorelai home whenever they felt like it. The motorcycle wasn't as comfortable as Lorelai's Lexus, but that was the point. She constantly showered him with luxury. It began to make him feel uneasy. He couldn't figure out why, though, and wished he knew someone he could talk to about it. Leaves crunched under his feet as he walked. Summer hung in there through last week, but then autumn often hit Seattle rather suddenly. The groundskeepers had gathered many of the leaves into large piles just off the sidewalks. Money and luxury meant as much to Lorelai as dried leaves. The analogy came back to him. "Hey, sexy thing," someone called. Alex figured the call was for someone else, but he looked up anyway. Rachel came running at him, leaping upon Alex so fast that he barely had time to drop his books and hold his helmet out of the way. She had both legs up off the ground and her hands hooked onto his shoulders as he fell backward into the giant pile of leaves behind him. He didn't have time to regain his bearings before she kissed him. The fall hurt for a fleeting instant, but her kiss robbed him of all pain or fear or trepidation. "Hi," Rachel grinned, still pinning him to the ground.
"Wow, hi, Rachel,"
he smiled. He'd never been tackled to the ground by a beautiful girl before.
"How are you?"
"Better now." Her lips locked with his again. The helmet fell out of his hands. He put his arms around her and held her tight. The nearness of her stirred as much desire as Alex had ever felt for anyone. She could clearly tell as he stiffened. She pulled back from her kiss and beamed. "Much better to get a reception like this," she said, wiggling her groin against his. Her smile robbed him of breath. It was hard to think of anything but the swell of affection and longing for her that overtook him and the absolutely amazing feeling of her touch. She swept him away as surely as Lorelai. The comparison shifted the gears of his brain. He tried to concentrate. The last thing he wanted was for her to be hurt or resentful over some misunderstanding.
"Rachel,"
he said,
"things have,
She turned his head to expose his neck. She kissed it, and then his ear, then his neck again.
"Wow,"
he breathed.
"That's... Oh, wow, Rachel. Wait, I have to tell you, Lorelai."
She turned his head back to face her. Her smile was undiminished. It seemed to brighten. "I know everything," she said with barely contained excitement. Then she turned his head the other way and started on this untouched side of his neck. Alex gasped again.
"You know?"
Rachel giggled, releasing his head so he could face her. "She loves you. You love her. You're in love together. It's the most beautiful fucking thing I've ever seen. I've hardly taken my eyes off of you since Friday night." It was then that Alex noticed.
"You've got your wings back?"
He blinked. She kissed him again. He saw sparks. Fireworks. He didn't have a word for it, nor did he need one. Rachel's kiss was like nothing else. She hadn't even come off of his face when she whispered, still partly chewing on his lips. "Thanks to you. And her. Mostly you." A shudder went through him.
"How?"
he gasped.
"What did I do?"
"The impossible," she said, before she licked and ravenously kissed his lips again. Alex kissed back. He couldn't get enough. His heart pounded and his body trembled. He'd just been pondering how much could be too much, but now... Now there was another heart in the mix, one he cared about deeply. Rachel's kiss robbed him of worry, but not of concern. She granted both excitement and comfort. She didn't steal his thoughts.
Rachel, he fought to say. There are others. My life's a mess.
Your life's fucking awesome, Rachel countered, not letting up in her assault of kisses and licks and nibbles all over his face and neck. I've seen everything.
Everything?
I'm all better now. I can see you anytime I want, Rachel said.
It should have alarmed him, but he couldn't see anything wrong with it. This was his guardian angel. She was supposed to see.
I saw you with Onyx before Lorelei got back to you. But after that, after the restaurant, I could see everything. I saw you together. I saw you with Jocelyn, with Taylor. I almost walked in and took her up on it yesterday when she said I should fuck you. You have no idea how hard it was to resist taking you for myself.
I'm worried that this is all too much.
I don't think you've had nearly enough. I see you. I know you. Your girlfriend and I have already talked. I know how you feel about me. You know Lorelei's okay with it. Don't you dare tell me you don't have room in your life for me. She whispered hungrily into his ear.
I want to, so much, but I don't want to hurt you.
You're not going to hurt me, Rachel grinned. We're going to be awesome.
How can you be so sure?
Because I know you, Alex. Maybe better than you know yourself.
Her eyes seemed a bit sad for a moment.
I wish I could tell you everything I know, but I can't. It's all stuff that mortals aren't meant to know. But if you trust me, she said, running her fingers through his hair, I promise you we'll be happy together.
Despite his troubles, he grinned back.
That's kind of creepy.
I know, can't be helped. I'm not staring at you while you sleep or anything, because that's just dorky. Still, it's like Taylor said. I'm a total stalker, she admitted cheerfully. But I'm the sexiest stalker ever, and you love it and you know it.
That's even creepier.
Alex chuckled, then he blinked.
Wait, you watched us?
Rachel trailed kisses up and down his neck and the sides of his face as she spoke.
I saw everything and heard everything. I'll keep your secrets. I'll protect you. I'm your angel. Your devoted, vigilant, naughty, horny angel.
That's not who I saw, Onyx said in slow awe. She and Molly looked on with wide eyes at Alex and the blonde in white crawling on top of him. A janitor yelled at them to get up off of the pile of leaves. He stood 2 feet away from them, seeing only an ordinary, if very pretty, blonde girl cuddling with a guy in a leather jacket. Yet the couple appeared to be utterly oblivious to the poor janitor.
Well, the book said a succubus could change shape,
Molly suggested. Like Onyx, she could read auras and pierce supernatural concealments. It was all just a matter of practicing the right enchantments. Unlike Onyx, though, this was her first direct observation.
The woman I saw had a tail, but no wings. This chick's got wings, but no tail.
Pretty wings, Molly noted. But she can't really be what she looks like, right?
They look happy together, Onyx murmured.
Yeah, but he's worried. I can't read her aura, though. It's too bright.
You think that's weird?
I don't know. I've never seen a chick with invisible wings and an aura this bright before.
Maybe it's that bright to make it hard to read?
Maybe. Like you said,
They seem happy, but he also seems worried.
He worries. He does that. I think that's normal, Onyx thought aloud. She still hadn't taken her eyes off the blonde as she made out in the big pile of leaves with the only guy Onyx had ever gone to bed with. Onyx didn't want to feel jealous. She knew he had someone else. So did she, and her lover sat right beside her. Even seeing him with his lover shouldn't have been a bother. But to see him looking that happy with someone else?
Can you be that happy and still be worried?
You are whenever we're figuring out the bills together. Onyx shrugged. He was happy with me, too. I'm worried about her. They're getting up. Think we should follow?
Yeah.
Molly nodded.
This is too weird.
You know, I've never been to his house before, Taylor thought aloud. She sat behind the wheel of her car as Lorelai retrieved her keys. They were parked just outside the entrance to the building. I knew it was here because Drew lives right over there, but, weird.
How long would it take you to get from here to your next class? Grinned Lorelai.
Oh, no, Taylor said with unconvincing reluctance. I couldn't. This has been crazy and wonderful already. I just...
She felt a hand on her leg. Taylor looked down at it. That shapely, sexy woman's hand slid up her leg toward her crotch.
What possible reason do you have to deny yourself, Taylor?
You've already been so good to me.
Her eyes slowly closed.
And I have been happy to be of service,
Lorelai whispered into her ear.
I am made for this, Taylor. It is no inconvenience. Alex offered me to you.
He told you?
Taylor's words were almost dreamy. Lorelai tilted her head curiously.
Told me what?
Fingers brushed up against the material of Taylor's jeans between her legs.
That I could borrow you sometime?
Lorelai's grin became a broad, hungry smile.
No, he did not. Did he say when?
No.
Taylor shook her head. She held Lorelai's wrist with one hand to make sure it wouldn't go anywhere.
He just promised not to ask questions.
This is intriguing. Are you sure you won't come inside to discuss this?
Does discussing involve being naked?
All the best discussions in that home do.
The succubus chuckled.
Okay.
Taylor surrendered. As she followed Lorelai through the gate, Taylor figured there was something admirable about the way Alex put aside these pleasures to go to class. Admirable and downright silly. They had lingered in the honeymoon suite for 2 active, intimate hours already. Yet here Taylor was, sticking around for more.
He gave you the keys already?
Taylor asked at the door.
I may have found a spare key and had a copy made while he was at school last week.
Lorelai shrugged.
You should be warned that I am a demon prone to all sorts of mischief.
You're not using some sort of sexy mind control on me right now, are you?
Taylor asked. She didn't sound like she'd be all that mad about it. Lorelai drew her inside to close the door behind her.
I confess that I calmed you so that you might hear me out a couple of times, she said.
Lorelai moved close, putting one arm around her, while the other hand trailed up Taylor's leg.
But I'm not exactly capable of mind control. I've used little upon you that could be called magic.
Taylor gasped, melting in her arms.
You don't call this magic?
Not at all,
Lorelai whispered into Taylor's ear. She unfastened Taylor's pants and slipped her hand inside.
But I have tasted your desires. I know you want to have other men.
Oh?
Is that what you would like my help with?
Yes,
Taylor managed. Her breath was hot against Lorelai's neck.
Alex said you could help me keep things, consequence-free?
I could. Lorelai smiled. Of all my love's friends, you are easily my favorite.
God, I'm getting so dirty.
Shh. Think nothing of it. Just between us girls.
Lorelai's touch continued to roam. I can help you find and properly prepare a couple of attractive young men deserving of a night or two as your devoted toys. We can ensure they'll later go their separate ways with smiles on their faces and no strings attached.
You could be there with me?
Yes, though I will not betray Alex's wishes. I can be there for you, but you'll have to remember that the rest of the entertainment is there only for you, too.
Seems kind of unfair. Oh, wow.
Alex is young yet. I am his first real love. In 10 or 20 years, he may slacken my leash a little more with regards to other...
Oh!
Lorelai tensed, suddenly pressing in bodily on Taylor. The younger woman blinked, providing some measure of support for the trembling succubus.
Alex,
Lorelai whispered hoarsely against Taylor's shoulder.
Oh, my love.
Taylor helped her take a seat on the stairs.
What is it? Is something wrong?
No.
Lorelai breathed, her gaze seeming far away.
Something wonderful.
Huh. He really is a slut. Is it always this good for you?
Taylor giggled.
Not always,
Lorelai gasped. Not ever, she thought, but there was no reason to be tactless. She felt even better about drawing Taylor inside, knowing how best to ride out something like this. She drew Taylor in close and asked,
Weren't we moving upstairs?
What's wrong?
Rachel asked. She sat across from Alex at a small table in the campus lounge. She had a milkshake. He had a hamburger and fries, which he ate quickly. After spending most of his break in a pile of leaves, his next class wouldn't be long in coming.
You're making me a little self-conscious.
I am.
She leaned forward on the table, with both hands on her milkshake.
You're watching me eat while you've got nothing. It's kind of awkward.
Her eyes never left his, but she pointedly put the straw of her milkshake in her mouth. Alex just laughed.
What's so funny?
You, it's just...
He shook his head, chowing down on another fry.
I don't want to sound like a jerk. Obviously, I'm happy you're here, but... I guess angels don't exactly date, do they?
Rachel opened her mouth as if to respond, then closed it. She put her hands over her face.
Yes and no,
she sighed.
Wow, yes, Alex, I understand dating. I've seen it. I'm sorry, I'm being a fucking spaz.
It's fine,
Alex said.
I'm fine. I just felt weird that you were staring is all. I'm good.
It's not that. Ugh. This sucks ass.
She peered out at him from between her fingers. Then her hands fell away.
There's something I haven't told you, and I didn't want to tell you because you're not supposed to talk about your ex during a first date, right? If that's what this is, are we dating?
Alex blinked.
I don't know. Are we?
If you want to be. I'm a little past the dating stage with you, I think. If it's what you need, it'll drive me batshit insane, but I can deal.
He hesitated, unsure of which way to take this.
What stage are you at?
Alex, you've hardly spent any time with me at all, while I've been all over you like the fucking KGB for days. I know shit about you that you aren't capable of knowing yourself. I can't answer that and not sound psycho.
So sound psycho,
Alex suggested. Rachel inhaled nervously.
I'm at the run away with him and never look back stage.
She pursed her lips a bit, watching as if she expected him to bolt.
We can take Lorelei, though. I'm totally okay with that. I can share you as long as I can have you all to myself, too.
Alex laughed. She laughed, too, mostly at herself.
You're right,
he said.
That sounds kind of psycho.
Then why are you laughing?
Because you make me feel good,
he shrugged.
I don't know, Do you believe in love at first sight?
Funny you should ask that. No, not for about 500 years.
Neither do I, but every time you're around, I feel great, and I want more.
Her face brightened.
That's so sweet.
I don't know how else to say it. You're just so alive. You feel good to be with. You're witty, you're smart, funny, you've got this energy, and I know it's totally strange, but I feel like we just click.
Rachel nodded. We do.
I almost feel bad about saying that.
Why? Because of Lorelei? Don't. I know you love her.
I think that's fucking awesome. I'd never let anything come between you two. Why would that make any difference?
Because it's like I'm comparing her to you. As amazing as you both are, that's bound to leave one of you feeling shortchanged somehow.
The angel shrugged.
Every relationship is different. Whatever feelings you have for me don't necessarily reflect on your feelings for her, or vice versa, or for anyone else. Tell me how you feel about her. Gush about her. Get mushy. Honestly, I'll be happy to hear it.
Neither one of us is going to get jealous of the other, Alex. There's bound to be some friction between us, but I think the worst of that has already passed.
You don't believe in one woman, one man, then?
Heaven isn't against gay marriage, no. Rachel deadpanned. She waited for him to laugh, which, after a moment, he did.
Monogamous love is beautiful. Polyamory is beautiful, too. Love is beautiful. Period. Like I said, jealousy isn't something I have to deal with.
I'm not exactly a normal girl, Alex. Neither is Lorelei.
I want to be with you. The rest is just details.
Alex heard the catch in her voice. Something more waited to be said, but he doubted the lounge right before his next class was the time and place for it. He decided to change the subject.
You were going to tell me something about your ex? If you want me to talk about Lorelei, I guess that's fair.
Rachel's shoulders slumped.
Yeah, she sighed. Guess I better just get this out of the way. I used to be involved with someone, another angel.
Okay.
I used to think he was all that in a bag of chips, but in 1517 I realized he's more like a great big bag of rotting cocks.
Alex nearly choked. He put the rest of his burger down. Clearly he was done eating here.
It gets into all that stuff I can't tell mortals, but his name is Vincent and he's... I used to follow him around like a puppy thinking everything he did was cool, thinking he was heroic. Then we actually became involved. We were in love for centuries, or at least I was. Eventually, I realized that Vincent is only in love with Vincent. I started to realize that he's just a big show. He doesn't really do anything meaningful, doesn't change anything. He'll never admit it, but he knows it.
What do you mean?
You remember how a demon slain on holy ground is gone forever? She asked, keeping her tone low so no one would overhear.
Yeah.
Well, imagine someone who goes around fighting demons but never actually puts any of them down for good. And he's got the same advantage they do in that it's hard to completely destroy an angel. He's never in a position where he might truly be at risk. That'd be fine, but he never risks anything,
even when it would accomplish something. And yet nobody notices that. He knows it, but he never admits it. He's just a glory hound.
Like that other succubus you and Lorelai ran into Friday? Rachel said, and then winked when Alex's face revealed some surprise that she knew about it.
Told you, motherfucking KGB. Anyway, I let her know I'd go nuclear on her sloppy ass if she messed with you. Hopefully she got the message. But unless she steps out of certain lines, I can't go after her. Vincent could, but he won't. Not until everybody gets spun up about it and he'll look awesome for taking her on. He won't act until he's got an audience.
Everybody thinks he's this big, strong, brave, demon-fighting hero. He's all beautiful and chiseled and glorious, and thinking about how wet I'd get over him just makes me want to puke.
Alex fell quiet. She spoke of the relationship in the past tense, but it made him think of Taylor's ex-boyfriend, Gabriel. He had no idea how one could compete with an angel. He wasn't wounded or worried, but it was the first sign that even this relationship, whatever it might become, wasn't necessarily all wine and roses, nor a sure thing. Naturally, she went on. You know, I gave up my original purpose for him. I guess you could say I was a librarian is the best way to explain it. But that kept me tied down where I couldn't follow him, so I requested a new role and became a messenger. A lot of that is about floating around, speaking into the ears of loonies and winos. Did he ever thank me for it? Did he ever think about what I gave up to be with him? Fuck no. Ugh. Such a jerk. He just got with me because it made him look good to give the reject a chance. And usually he'd just lie there like I was privileged to be fucking him. Naturally, several students walked past as she spoke. They giggled and moved on. Rachel glanced up at them, then back at Alex, whose mortified facial expression spoke volumes. Alex, you don't do that. I've watched you screw 4 different women, and you're the polar opposite of my ex. You're amazing. There were further snickers from the passersby. Rachel got the point and lowered her voice. The only reason you'd get lazy in bed is if your partner wanted to indulge you. It's not the same.
This conversation is beyond surreal. Do you seriously watch everything?
Just about, Rachel said with a sly grin. I told you before I'd be watching. I won't loom over you 24/7. You'll still have time alone for yourself. Everybody needs time alone. I get that. I'm not codependent. It's just that you're still so new and fascinating. And it's only been a few days. But there's only one thing that I'd like more than watching you fuck. The straw went back into her mouth with deliberate slowness. Alex swallowed hard. He was disturbed by the thought that knowing this about her wasn't disturbing. Still, he was only half reassured.
Do you feel like you're over it? With Vincent?
Oh, fuck yeah, I've been over it for 400 years. I mean, yeah, in some ways that might sound like a lot for someone who's basically immortal. But on the other hand, it's still 400 fucking years. He's still not over the blow to his massive ego, but I'm done.
It's just that you brought him up is all. You remember the date you split and everything.
Not because I still have feelings for him. She reached out and took his hand. I remember the date because I remember watching Martin walk up to the church doors with a hammer and nails and some paper, and I thought, you know, Vincent would never have the balls to take a stand like this.
Martin Luther?
Alex blinked. She nodded nonchalantly.
You're talking about Martin Luther. Are you seriously comparing me to that?
No, not at all. I'm just talking about having balls. Look, I'm not comparing you to Martin. That was 5 centuries ago and a totally different context. And neither he nor I knew what would come of it. But to some extent, courage is courage. You have the guts to do what you see as right, regardless of the consequences. I love that about you, Alex. Even if you weren't a hero,
I'd still adore you for who you are. You'd still be wonderful, and I think I'd still be hung up on you.
I'm still stuck on the Martin Luther thing. Are you serious?
Rachel looked away, blushing a bit.
I might have had something to do with all that, yes. Being a messenger isn't just about making acid stains of the Virgin Mary on highway overpasses and whispering into the ears of guys holding crazy signs in downtown Seattle.
She looked back at him. You did hear what I just said about you, though, right?
He sank back in his chair.
I don't feel like a hero. I think I'm pretty ordinary. You know, the last week aside.
Alex searched for words, which left him staring at his plate.
It's, you know, I was only in that graveyard because I was hoping to impress a couple girls in my photography class, right? That was just stupid. I knew it was stupid, too, but I'm just a guy who couldn't even get into the army. I'm not a hero.
You have no idea how wrong you are about that, Alex.
He shrugged.
I don't know. It's not like I don't feel good about what I've done. I used to worry I'd just turn out to be some loser, but I'm not worried anymore. But even with everything that's happened, I keep wondering when, like, when's Lorelai going to realize that I'm kind of boring, you know? Or you, for that matter.
Rachel considered how much she could share.
Did you know that Lorelai's a big deal among the demons? She's not a Duke of Hell, but as succubi go, her name's pretty much the first anyone would think of. She's an icon. Alex, you've stolen her from Hell. The ritual that captured us was one thing, but it didn't change her. That priest drew on her evil and my benevolence, but I've pretty much recovered, and I bet she's gotten a lot better too. I can't tell a before and after difference for myself. Lorelai isn't changing because of the ritual. It's a deliberate choice.
You've taught her love, Alex. Most guys would have just used her as a toy.
You opened her up to compassion and remorse. Magical compulsions didn't send her into that bathroom at the restaurant to talk to that poor old lady. That was you, and everything you've inspired in her. And you didn't do that through luck. I guarantee you, whatever happens now, she's never gonna be the same. She'll never go back to what she was before.
Shit like a mortal destroying a demon happens like once a century or two. It's rare, and it's an accomplishment, but it's not unheard of. But getting one to more or less defect, and someone as notorious as her? That's unprecedented. Look, it's not like you changed the course of history or anything, but you've kicked a boulder that's been in place for millennia and made it shake. That's a big deal, and oh wow, you are totally beet red right now.
Alex stared down at her hand in his, fighting the urge to smile.
I don't hear things like this a lot, he admitted.
It's all true. You're a big fucking hero.
She grinned more.
What? What did I say?
It's,
he bit down on his lips. Under her gaze, he finally let it out.
It's big damn hero, actually. Is how you're supposed to say it.
He kept blushing.
It's a geek thing.
Rachel smiled.
You're Lorelai's big damn hero, and mine. You might feel like a goon sometimes, but you're not. Everybody has self-doubt. Everybody. But all that other stuff you said about being boring is just bullshit. Lorelai and I have both been around long enough to know what's important to us and what isn't. She loves you, Alex, for who you are. It's not magic. It's not the ritual. It's real. And my feelings are just as real, too.
Alex searched for words.
You're both just... She's overwhelming. I can't believe I'm worth her attention. And I feel pretty much the same way about you.
That's how love usually feels, especially at first.
She grinned at him.
and I'll grant that we're both pretty fantastic.
We were talking about something else before, weren't we?
Yeah, she sighed. We were talking about dumbass Vincent and the dumbass chip on his dumbass shoulder.
Well, if you're over him, what's he got to do with anything?
There are angels that guard over people, but there are also angels that guard over places. Vincent's more or less got guardianship over this city as a whole. It's political, and it's not like he's got as much authority as it might sound, but he gets heard. And Vincent is all bent out of shape over you because you've shown him up.
So what, he's gonna come kick my ass?
Alex frowned skeptically. No, he wouldn't attack you or anything. He's still an angel, after all. But he's going to try to get you stripped of my guardianship. And he might push that through, too, because you've got Lorelei protecting you. When a mortal gains supernatural protection of one sort or another, the guardians basically drop him. Usually that's because messing with the supernatural involves turning away from the divine. But even when it doesn't... She shrugged.
Wow.
Alex breathed.
What does that mean for you and I?
It doesn't mean you'll lose me, Rachel said quietly but firmly. She gave his hand another squeeze. But I'll have other responsibilities, and if they demote me from being a guardian angel, it'll weaken me. I'm not sure how close this is into forbidden knowledge territory, but an angel's status and purpose affects her capabilities. Mainly, I just wouldn't be as powerful.
You'd still be you?
Alex asked. She nodded.
And I'd still be able to see you?
Yes.
Then I don't care.
You've really got to go to your next class.
I've got a test on Wednesday. There's supposed to be a review for it today.
Can I come with you?
We can try it. It's a lecture hall, and people have dropped, so there are seats now, but the teacher's aides take attendance.
Rachel shrugged. I can make myself invisible to every mortal except you, just like Lorelei can. Just sit where there's an open seat next to you. What's after that?
Photography?
Oh, Rachel said with an eager grin. Right, with Onyx. Do you want me to make myself scarce for that?
No,
Alex said.
Hell no. I don't know what I'm going to do yet. I've just got to do this biology class and then... I don't know. I already knocked out the other heavy classes today. I could probably skip the rest. I'd just like to be with you.
You will need to be able to list the characteristics of life. We did that on the first day. Also, from our first class, you'll need to remember our discussion on evolution and natural selection, as well as the readings on Darwin. The professor spoke with good cadence and inflection, just enough to keep from being monotone, but she wasn't trying to entertain anyone. Most everyone in the auditorium-style lecture hall busily wrote down everything she said. Sitting in the back of the hall, Alex heard Rachel sigh with annoyance.
Not big on Darwin,
he murmured. She took the sort of deep breath that enforces good posture. We are expressly forbidden from speaking to mortals on that specific subject, she said.
Hot button issue for you guys?
A bit.
I don't know. Just your reaction might tell me plenty about creationism.
Rachel looked at him sideways. The frustrating part is how unimportant it all is. It's a stupid thing for mortals to bicker about. Alex was back to looking at his professor. After a moment, Rachel said, Anyway, the Norse had it right. He blinked.
The Norse? What, you mean the Vikings?
Mm-hmm.
I know that one. Doesn't it? Start with a land of ice and a land of fire and a magic cow being melted out of the ice in between?
Rachel nodded solemnly. Alex looked back at the professor again, considering what she said.
I thought you weren't supposed to be able to lie to me.
Ask yourself if lying is the same thing as sarcasm, she smirked. Alex chuckled as he looked back to the professor. She continued her outline of the upcoming exam. You will need to know the parts of cells, both animal and plant. That means you'll have to know the difference between a cell membrane and a cell wall. You'll need to remember what a vacuole does. You need to know mitosis and meiosis and the phases of each.
You're hardly taking any notes, Rachel observed.
A lot of this stuff people should remember from high school. I had AP bio in my junior year.
He noted Rachel's quizzical look.
I should have gotten college credit for this class already. Could have, I mean, if I had taken the test.
Why didn't you?
Jason got chicken pox a week before the exam. His parents were in Israel. I brought him his homework and some comics and stuff, kept him company. Mom worked late all that week, so I hadn't even told her for the first 2 days. And then she was like, you idiot, you've never had chicken pox either, which I totally didn't know, and so, yeah.
Rachel's adoring smile fell upon him once more. That's sweet.
It was dumb.
Aw, I'm sure he'd have done the same for you.
No, Jason's way smarter than me. Jason would have asked his mom if he'd had chicken pox, and then when she said no, he'd have sent someone else.
How long have you been friends?
Ugh, all our lives. All the same interests. Geeks tend to cling to their own.
So you don't really need to stay here?
I might. She's not done with the review yet. If this covers genetics, it'll kick my ass. Where are you going?
He asked as she rose. Rachel pulled away his notebook and moved the little fold-out desktop in his seat back to the side. Then she sat down on his lap, straddling him.
Right here,
she smiled. His eyes widened. She leaned back, stretching to draw his attention to her chest. Rachel's white dress was just loose enough to allow her to do this without it hiking up much. But just the same, Alex saw a lot of leg. She shouldn't have been able to do this given the lack of space, but her legs went right through the seats to the other side of him, as if they weren't even there. Alex blinked in shock. She felt solid against him, but she could apparently move right through solid matter.
And now you know how I can follow you around everywhere you go, the angel teased.
She popped open the top button of his black shirt. Rachel leaned in, kissing and nibbling her way up from his collarbone to the side of his face. To make matters worse for Alex, she ground against him in exactly the right way to drive him nuts. Alex knew he couldn't do anything to hold her without looking weird to everyone else. She felt so good that he almost didn't care. As if mocking his scholarly commitment, Rachel kept her head low or to the side so that he could still see his professor. While the woman at the lectern spoke about cells, Rachel's hands roamed along Alex's sides. He didn't mean to do it, but he caught the eye of the teacher's assistant, standing by the exit near the front row. She glanced up at Alex's wide-eyed face and strange posture, with something between amusement and surprise. She also crumpled up the post-it note bearing her phone number that she was about to give him. Alex looked away. Rachel took the turn of his head as an indication to give more attention to the other side of his neck. His eyes closed. She felt wonderful. She was wonderful. He longed to kiss her, but that would look very weird indeed.
You're vibrating, Rachel observed, with a whisper against his skin.
I'm shaking that much?
No, I think it's your phone.
Alex blinked. He twisted a bit, trying hard to get at the phone in his back pocket. Rachel giggled as he tried to manage it. Finally, he got it out. Rachel settled back against him. He found a text from Lorelai. The suite is yours again tonight. Don't worry about me. I know what you feel. Rachel will not come between us. I want this for you. With that, he gave up on trying to think with his brain.
I never wanted anything like I want you, Alex.
Rachel confessed into his ear.
I want to love you and fuck you for days.